Third and fourth for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
That ball is hit hard into left field, going back, and that is gone. A home run for Joe Cronin. That punch is blocked. BC special teams is a huge play. The ball is recovered and brought into the end zone. Touchdown. Top scores. Eagles win.
And this is WZBC Sports.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the WZBC Sports Podcast. My name is Steve Mackley. I'm joined by my good friend and colleague on the board of WZBC Sports, Kyle Maslin, and we're going to be breaking down the 2017 BC football schedule. Now, you may recall, in Season 1, we did this right when the schedule was released, but this is going to be a little bit more of an in-depth look at the opponents, and since we're, man, only like 16 days or 17 days away from kickoff when we record this, it's going to be a little bit of a closer look at the opponents. So that's what we're doing today. So Kyle, thanks for coming on. How's your summer been, buddy?
Summer's been good. I went to Ireland for a month through Boston College. Spent a month busy studying sports with other BC students, which was a lot of fun. Besides that, working here and there. Not too bad. How about yourself, Steve?
Pretty good, man. Yeah. Been all over the place myself with work, but glad to be back, getting ready for another BC sports season, and I think another fun ride with WZBC Sports. So, Kyle, let's get right into it. BC opens at Northern Illinois. So they open on the road against a non-Power 5 team, which is a bit unique. Now, as we recall, Northern Illinois a couple years ago, maybe, 6 or 7 years ago, was a pretty good mid-major team. They were in the Orange Bowl 1 year. So kind of going back to those days, I'm assuming when the game was scheduled. But this is a unique one for a Power 5 team to be on the road to open the season against a non-Power 5 team. And I'm not sure if this is still the case, but when Vegas opened up the odds, BC was the underdog. So this could be an interesting one. I mean, I on my end, I think it's tough to pick against BC even on the road with what you think is just superior talent. But does this have the makings of a trap game? Because let's be honest, if BC were to lose this one, I mean, that throws off the whole trajectory of the season. So what do you make of this first one?
Well, NIU, as I said, they were really good a couple of years ago when they had Jordan Lynch at the quarterback position. He was a Heisman finalist his senior year and led them, as you said, to the Orange Bowl. However, since he left, they've kind of been a middle-of-the-road team. And they have to break in quarterbacks. Last couple of years, they've had quarterbacks hurt all the time. They've used about 5 quarterbacks in the last 18 months. So we really have to see who's going to be healthy with the behind center and how whoever is healthy will be playing, because none of them have gotten many reps the last couple of years.
Yeah, and it's certainly not a defense that you want to go against with kind of a quarterback issue or a guy that isn't kind of ready to lead the offense. Because this BC defense, although they were great 2 years ago and probably still great last year, they do lose a couple guys, but Harold Landry's back for a senior year, and many people think that he's a top 10 player in the country, not just in the ACC. So you'd have to think the defense alone against an offense that doesn't really have a direction right now would be enough to carry the day against Northern Illinois. What do you think?
I agree. The one thing is BC has to be expecting the best out of Northern Illinois. The defense should be great with Connor Strahan and Harold Landry back for their senior years. But the thing is, BC's going to be a big guy in NIU schedule. The 3 big games for Northern Illinois are us at their home place, at Nebraska, and then when they face Western Michigan, who was the Group 5 representative in the major bowl games last year.
That's very true. When they opened up against Georgia Tech last year, they had all summer to prepare for that triple option offense. And although they lost the game, BC was definitely prepared, you know, to take on that offense. You have to think Northern Illinois is kind of doing the same thing, that they've bred all summer. If they could somehow knock off a team like BC to begin the season, that changes their whole trajectory of the season for one thing. And I mean, it's, you know, it's a huge accomplishment, especially for a team that, like you said, has not been kind of trending upward in the last couple of years. So it's a game they should be ready for. And if that is the case, then we could be in for a close one. But I have to say that I have to think that if BC wins this one and starts the season 1-0. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, remember, it was my freshman year, sophomore year, they were the parents' weekend game, and it was a close game. BC won it, but it was close. I think Illinois will play tough. I think, don't think it'll be a blowout by any means, but I think BC will hopefully, under whichever quarterback will win the competition, pull it out.
Yeah, well, you know, before we get to the second game, just to kind of dive into the quarterback play at BC so far, right now it's still an open competition. And it sounds like Wade has been a pretty good game manager, and Brown has shown some sparks of what we think he could be. But, you know, you have to think that hopefully BC's committed to a quarterback by that point. I mean, obviously they'll name a starter, but you'd hope that whoever's in there and under center, the team's committed to, because this has been a shaky offense over the last couple years, and if the quarterback doesn't feel the confidence of the team behind him, his play may really suffer, especially against a team that's been preparing for you, like you said, all summer. So you'd have to hope that whoever they go with, they're really committed to him by day one.
Yeah, I agree. Wherever they go with, Wade, as you said, is probably more of a game manager as a redshirt junior versus Anthony Brown as a redshirt freshman. You've got to have the entire team behind him. You can't have the quarterback constantly looking over his shoulder, waiting to get subbed in and out if he has a bad series. You can't have that Jeff Smith, Troy Booty, where one guy plays two series, then another guy plays another one or two, and in and out, you can't get a rhythm. You're required to be able to be comfortable behind center and get into a rhythm offensively between the duo of running backs and hopefully a more experienced receiving core, which gives more options throwing the ball.
Sure, yeah. This could be their best receiving core that we've seen in our time at BC and maybe even beyond that over the last couple years. So BC hopefully takes down Northern Illinois to open up the season. You and I both have them winning that game. They return home the next weekend for their first Saturday game of the season against Wake Forest. Now, Wake has been ugly games, to say the least, with BC over the last two seasons. Wake won 2 years ago. BC won last year. Both games decided by, I think, 3 points, if I recall correctly. Obviously, the first one was that 3-0 game. But this is a Wake Forest team that from what I can gather, is somewhat in the same position as BC. Is that they have some talented players, and in some ways they're trending upward. But in other ways, especially on offense, it's a bit harder to pin down what they might be. Some people are high on BC, on Wake. Others, not as much. I kind of see them as where BC's at least in the public perspective. That being said, it should be a close game. What do you make of the Demon Deacons coming to BC in that second week of the season?
No, I agree. They're definitely similar spots. They were 6-6 last year. Went to bowl games against similar 6-6. Now they went to big high profile bowl games, but they all were able to go bowling. The big thing with Wake Forest is they lost their defensive coordinator to Notre Dame, so we'll see how the new defensive coordinator can break in for the talented unit on the Wake Forest defense. Offensively, I don't expect Wake to be much. I expect another low-scoring, close game against Wake that could go either way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to call. It might be the toughest game to call all season, but I'm just going to have to go with my gut on this one. I'm going to say BC pulls this one out. I mean, you look at what we saw 2 years ago in front of that home crowd with Wake, such just, you know, a disappointing game. You have to think that they're kind of ready for this one, and it's somewhat of a rivalry, I think. I mean, people make it out to be that Syracuse is BC's big rivalry, but at least over the last couple years, it seems that Wake and BC have been in similar spots, and the games have been close. And you have to think that with this team, with a great senior leader like Harold Landry, they find a way to pull this one out. But this may be the toughest one to call all season. Do you think BC wins this one?
I think BC pulls it out, and I do agree with you on the rivalry. Not only are they similar spots with the football team, but in terms of the academics and this whole student body, they are a very similar school. A lot of people who are at both schools applied to the other. So I definitely think between both the student body and the football team, it's definitely forming into a really solid rivalry.
Yeah, very good point. They are similar schools, and that's kind of one of the cool things about the ACC is they have a good mix of different kinds of schools, and BC and Wake are similar ones, to say the least. So if we look to the game that everyone has had circled on their calendar for years now, the next week, September 16th, Notre Dame comes to town. It's the 12 o'clock ESPN game. I mean, that's going to be a great weekend no matter what the outcome of the game is. And everyone's excited about it. But Notre Dame is a really tough team to predict. They're coming off the 4-8 season last year. They got a decent amount of top 25 votes in the coaches poll, the preseason poll, but that doesn't say too much. I mean, last year they were ranked, I believe, number 10 to be in the season, and they lost in that great game at Texas. And Texas turned out to be kind of an up-and-down team as well. So this is a game that BC could win, A, because Notre Dame's just not good, and they're similar to last year, and Brian Kelly's losing control of the program a little bit, or BC just plays them really tough, as they usually do against Notre Dame, and they pull this one out. But it's a tough one to call in BC's favor just because of the recruiting that Notre Dame does, the talent that we know they have back, even with, you know, Kaiser's going to the NFL, Zaire's transferred to, I believe, Florida. So for me, this is a tough one to say. I think BC's going to win it, but I believe it'll be a close game. Do you see anything with Notre Dame that might give BC a chance?
Well, yeah, when you're looking at Notre Dame, you mentioned that Malik Zaire and Deshone Kaiser are both gone for greener pastures in Cleveland and Florida, respectively. And so there's a new quarterback who's barely played, if at all, breaking in for the Irish, which is always a tough call to see how a new quarterback will play in any system for any team. And in addition to that, they're breaking in two new coordinators. They brought over the Wake Forest defensive coordinator, and they brought a new offensive coordinator. I forget the school he was at the year before. So Kelly has a whole new staff, so you have to see how that's going to fit in. It's week three, so we'll see how Notre Dame can adjust and get everyone kind of sorted in the right direction by then. A team could still be figuring it out. But if you remember, when we played Matt Benaway 2 years ago, if there wasn't a drop pass or two in that game, BC knocks down what was the number four team in the nation, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, they were poised to make a run at the playoff that year, and their performance against BC, I think, dropped them out of the top four, and then they ended up losing to Stanford the next week. So BC finds a way to play them tough always, and I think it should be a great game nonetheless. But, you know, Notre Dame opens up with Temple at home, and Temple was a good team last year, and they should be pretty solid again this year, even losing Matt Rule to Baylor, their coach. And then they have Georgia the next week. And although Georgia's been down the last couple of years, you know, an SEC team, that's always going to be a tough opponent. So it's possible that Notre Dame just gets off to the wrong foot to begin the season, and that slide continues at BC. Maybe they get back on track as well. I'm going to have to say that's BC's first loss. And it's tough for me to pick. I think it'll be a close game. I'm going to say it's a loss. BC sits at 2-1. Do you think BC gets it done, or is that a loss on your schedule as well?
I think it's an upset chance with a sold-out alumni stadium, but I don't think preseason you can pencil that in as a win.
I agree. I completely agree.
I see a 3-0 start, but I don't think anyone who's going to go to Vegas and put money on that going.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope both of us are wrong. So now you know, BC's into the season, three games in, and you go down to Clemson. Now, Clemson is not the same team they were last year only because Deshaun Watson has left for the NFL. But they're still good. Coaches poll, I believe they're fifth or sixth preseason, and they're going to be really good. I mean, they might have – they probably have a top five defense in college football. They're going to be really solid. So if it's – the BC offense has not gotten their footing yet – finding it at Clemson is probably unlikely. So although we can talk about some different storylines in this game, and you know, 2 years ago when BC was down at Clemson, they played them pretty tough, and they scored first in that game. Really hard to imagine that BC can put together a showing that could really scare Clemson. Maybe it'll be, you know, not too bad of a score, but you have to think that Clemson pulls this one out.
I agree. Down at Death Valley, it's not like you're bring them up to Boston where you have a crowd on your side. They're going to be in the middle of the Orange Army down in Carolina. And Clemson are breaking a lot of new offensive pieces. Mike Williams has gone to the NFL. Wayne Goldman's gone to the NFL along with Watson. So there's a lot of new pieces on offense getting all the reps. But Dabo Sweeney and that defense, even though Ben Bowler still has a lot of returning really, really good players. And Clemson, not sure they'll make it to the playoff again, but they're going to be competing for some really good
Yeah, the ACC Atlantic is going to be a lot of fun this year. I mean, Clemson should be good again. Lamar Jackson's back, which in itself is exciting, and Florida State looks like they're really, really good, even if they were to lose to Alabama on that opening weekend, which should be just a phenomenal game. So the ACC Atlantic, as it has been the last couple years, I think is going to be really good again. We'll see what BC can do against their first crack at the top teams in the Atlantic. If we look to the next week, BC returns home for Parents Weekend against Central Michigan. Now, Kyle, this is a team that I have had worries about ever since we knew they were going to be on the calendar. Central Michigan is a solid mid-major program. And I think that they're going to come in and play BC really tough. In fact, they were, I believe, in the Quick Lane Bowl the year before BC was. So a similar type team in a conference with a whole lot less resources. They're a gritty team. I think BC probably has more talent, but if I was worried about any game that might slip away from BC this year, I'm going to say it's Central Michigan. What do you think of them?
I'm honestly pretty confident. The more I've read up on Central Michigan, I really think this could be a down year for their program. The big reason, when you look at it in the last 4 years, they had one of the MAC's most prolific passers. I think he's second most in passing yards in MAC history. But he graduated. So now their quarterbacks are going to be someone who's never thrown a pass in their life, and they're back quarterbacks. Or Shane Morris, the Michigan transfer, who was never good under the various Michigan Wolverine regimes. So behind center is really how Central Michigan went all year. They do have a history and a knack of beating good teams, especially on lateral passes. They did that to Oklahoma State last year. But given the uncertainty under center for them and the fact that their backup, Lazaro, I believe is his last name, has never gone a pass, or they have a very subpar ex-blue-chip prospect in Shane Morris, I feel really confident what that defense could do to the Central Michigan offense.
All right, well, that's interesting insight, and you convinced me there. So I have to say BC probably wins this one as well. I think I would have had them winning it anyway, but I do think they're just a gritty team. And you look at, like you said last year, you know, not going for Oklahoma State, but then they also, I think, lost a couple, you know, bad games. So they were an up-and-down team last year. And the quarterback position, like I said, as we talked about earlier, against BC is not the kind of the place where you want to have questions. So after, let's see, that is 5 weeks of the season. You and I both have BC sitting at 3-2. And then Virginia Tech comes to town the next weekend. Now, I was at the Virginia Tech game last year, the 49-0 dismantling of the Eagles, and it was a tough one. Virginia Tech surprised a lot of different people last year, and they are preseason top 25. So I think they'll be good again, even with Jarrod Evans, the quarterback, has left. Bucky Hodges, their big tight end wide receiver, has gone. So they lost a couple guys. They should be good again. This is a team that I think will maybe not win the Coastal again, but be at the top. And I just think they're a bit more talented on both sides of the ball than BC is. And I really like Justin Fuente as a coach. So I think this is one that maybe BC plays a little bit better than last year, but I think the Hokies take this one.
Yeah, I mean, Fuente's done a really good job with Virginia Tech. Jarrod Levin surprised a lot of people leaving a year early and then went undrafted in April in the draft. So they're breaking in a new quarterback in Josh Johnson. But as I said, it was a dismantling last year. I don't think we're going to be on a 49-0 showing, especially with it being up Boston. But again, I have a hard time penciling this in as a win for the Eagles. I am dropping back down to 500 at 3-3 halfway through the year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying into Virginia Tech, and I wasn't sure about them last year. In fact, I think I thought BC was going to go in there and win last year, so I certainly wasn't as high on them as I should have been. But I'm buying into them this year. I really like what Friday's doing, and I think he's a good recruiter. He's going to start bringing in his guys, and he still has a lot of returning talent. So not sure about what their quarterback position looks like, but I think they'll be a good team. And if I had to pick a favorite to win the Coastal, I may say them, even with Miami being a pretty good team with what Mark Richt's doing down there. So I think this is a loss for the Eagles. And the next one, mid-October, we're kind of into that stretch of the season, we go down to Louisville. If I had to pick any game this year that I think might be the makings of a blowout, I have to say it's Louisville. I'm not sure if they're going to be as good as they were last year. You know, it's tough. I mean, you look at, just in this example, Jameis Winston, after his freshman Heisman season, Florida State, although they were undefeated, I believe, going into the playoff, they weren't the same team. Now, this Louisville team wasn't that Florida State team, but this may not be the same kind of season that Lamar Jackson had last year. That being said, he's still a super dynamic player, probably the most dynamic player that we've seen in the last couple of years in college football. I think if there's any game that makes up to be an ugly one, this might be it. Do you have anything to say that might change my mind on that, or do you think this is going to be a tough one for the Eagles to win?
No, this is going to be a tough one. Lamar Jackson, I mean, we all saw what he did up in Chestnut Hill last year. He torched the BC defense. He cemented his Heisman case, if it wasn't something already, against the Eagles. And he might not be the same he was last year. But if he's half that, it's still an extraordinarily dynamic quarterback who can throw and can run. The one hope they have is that maybe Louisville, after last year, doesn't take BC seriously, and they kind of line up on them, and BC plays up their game. That's the only chance I see of BC pulling out this win in Louisville. You don't really get against Lamar Jackson unless they're paying a top tier team, which BC is not yet.
No, yeah, not yet. At least we can't project that at the moment. I think Louisville, they'll be good again, and this is one that they probably take. Now, the next weekend is another interesting one, on the road at Virginia, who in the last couple of years have kind of been one of the bottom dwellers in the ACC, in the weaker Coastal Division, for that matter. But a team that people are excited about, Bronco Mendenhall, and kind of what he's bringing from BYU. I believe this will be his second season. I think this is his second season there. So the talk around town is that Virginia building nicely, but definitely not there yet. And BC is a couple years ahead in their plan, in their strategy, in their recruiting efforts. So I think this is one that BC wins. It's one that I've been interested in for a while, this game. I think BC can win this one just because they're just a couple steps ahead of where Virginia is at. What do you think?
Yeah, I think BC has more talent than Virginia. The only way that I see BC win this game is if they just kind of take the week off, because it's a bad team, sandwiched between Louisville and Florida State. So if BC decides, oh, let's not pay attention to Virginia, then they could drop a very winnable game, which would be a shame for the Eagles. But if you're just saying they get their usual week of prep in, they have their juices flowing, they should be able to beat Virginia, even in Charlottesville.
Yeah, you have to hope that's kind of the case. I mean, you raise a good point about it being right in between two really tough teams. But if BC can stay focused, I mean, they're on the road for two weekends in a row, it should be a game that on paper they win. But you mentioned that Florida State game. People are really excited about Florida State, and to be honest, so am I. I think DeAndre Francois is a really solid quarterback. I loved what I saw out of him only in his first season in the starting role last year. It was a great Orange Bowl win over Michigan that they had at the end of the season. And Jimbo Fisher's just kind of doing something special down there in Tallahassee. This one's at home. This one is the Welsh Crowther Red Bandana game for us at BC. So it's a game that is one of the most energized, excited games of the season. But we saw it last year against Clemson. That didn't affect the score too much. I think Florida State's going to be good. I can't make any predictions about them against Alabama to begin the season. I haven't seen their schedule as much, but I think they'll be very good. And you'd have to imagine they're probably going to come into BC, if all things go their way, top 10 still in the country, if not top 5. Maybe even undefeated, depending on how things go. So this could be a really, really tough game. But I have a good sense of this one. I think by this point in the season, BC hopefully has kind of worked out their kinks. They have a really solid starting quarterback. And we saw 2 years ago, with a really solid defense, BC held Florida State to only 14 points. And what it should have been, only 7 points, because that second touchdown came off of a fumble. So this one, Kyle, although I think BC probably will lose it in the end, I think this one's going to be a good game. I think, on ESPN Friday night, I think BC, hopefully by this point in the season, kind of figure themselves out like they did last year late in the season. I think this could be a close one. What do you think?
No, I agree. I mean, it was 2 years ago, ESPN, same thing. Welsh Crowther night, Red Bandana game. BC played Florida State extremely well, especially defensively. The big thing to worry about is Quinn Francois, and then they have the super freshman Cam Akers coming out to replace Dalvin Cook in the backfield. All report to Akers is the real deal, but no one's seen it. You can't necessarily put a set running figure on what he'll do, but they're preseason number 3 in the country. I think it could be a close game. There's a chance that this could be maybe USC part 2. But again, don't go to Vegas putting money on this the same way I wouldn't put it on Notre Dame.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think USC part two, that would be very exciting. That would be two big upsets in my time at BC, which would be awesome to see. And if BC were to somehow win this game, that puts the whole season in a different perspective. Right now we have them sitting at 4-4. They win this one 5-4 with three games to go, two of which I think are very winnable. The whole dynamic of the season changes. But as you kind of make your way through this schedule game by game, you can see that it's not an easy one. And we've talked about that all year. We talked about that when the schedule was released in January last year, or at least the dates of the games were released. So this is a tough schedule. So if BC can kind of get to this point, play Florida State tough, things are still looking up. But you and I both have it at least penciled in as a loss, 4-5 right now. Then the bye week. After the bye week, North Carolina State. Kyle, I'm going to be honest, I don't know too much about them, but a lot of people seem to like North Carolina State. They did get some preseason top 25 votes in the coaches poll. They're a team that I've heard is trending really nicely upward. Now, they didn't look too great last year when BC played them. That was another kind of ugly win, but BC got the win, that one. Do you know anything about NC State, and are you buying any of this hype?
Yeah, NC State, they're really trending upwards right now. They had some bad losses, but some great wins. They beat Notre Dame in one of the ugliest games in a monsoon last year. They've pulled a couple upsets, but they also lost some games they shouldn't have. So they ended up 6-6 last year, in the same way as BC and Wake Forest in the ACC. But whenever I see NC State, ever since I've been here my first 2 years, BC just has their number. They beat them in football last year in their house. They beat Dennis Smith and NC State basketball up here during winter break last year. I just feel confident whenever I play NC State. I think BC, this is a really good realistic chance to beat a good team and try to cement their resume for a postseason bowl berth.
It is a good team. Like I said, I can't speak too closely to NC State, but they looked really good. I believe it was Vanderbilt that they beat in the bowl game last year, and they looked really solid in that. They put up a lot of points, scored a lot of different ways. So this could be a good team. Although BC does seem to have their number, 2 years ago it was an ugly game that North Carolina State won pretty easily when BC was in there in that really down 3-9 year. So from what I've heard, I'm going to have to pick NC State in this one. So right now, I have BC 4-6. You have them at 5-5. I hope you're right, but we'll have to see. You know, I'm kind of going with a lot of the odds on these ones. Then the next weekend is at Fenway, somehow a home game for UConn. But, I mean, let's be honest, it's really on BC's home turf. I mean, BC's going to have a lot of tickets there. I don't know much about UConn, but I can't imagine they improved too much over last year, and BC probably is going to be ready to run over them on this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I was in the booth last year for the UConn game, and the first quarter UConn played it kind of tight, but once they started getting tired and BC kept running it down their throats, they got tired. They didn't have the same bodies to go after the BC. The UConn offense was flat-out terrible against BC, and part of that has to do with the great BC defense, but they literally couldn't do a thing. And I don't see much improvement in that area on UConn. They have a young quarterback who's going to be a sophomore. They lost one of their best defensive players in Opie Melifonwu, who went to the NFL. I see this as a very easy win for the Eagles, probably the easiest game on the schedule all year.
Yeah, I mean, it's one that I have them needing. So you have them kind of getting bowl eligibility with this game. I have them still needing one more. But in either case, it'll be a crucial late season game. You know, you never want to talk about what would happen if you lose to UConn if you're BC, but we won't even go there because we think BC's a better team, and they should kind of secure this one up easily. And hopefully, what's a really fun night at Fenway Park. And then to close the season as they have in many previous seasons, last year was an exception. They're at at Syracuse. In the past, that's kind of been the rivalry game to close off the season. BC switched it up last year kind of to bring it home, and BC lost last year to UConn in what was mostly a close game, but not a pretty one, for that matter. Syracuse is a team that I think is trending upwards. Eric Dungy, their quarterback, is pretty dynamic, can run the ball, feisty player. I don't know if you remember this, if you were at the Syracuse game last year, but he threw an interception on the opening drive, and he tackled, I want to say it was Will Harris, out of bounds, after the interception and started this big brawl. So he's a feisty guy. He's a good leader. And I think Dino Barbers is a guy that a lot of the players buy into. So I like Syracuse. They put up a lot of points last year for not being a very good team. I think they only had 4 wins. They beat, Virginia Tech, I think, in a surprise game last year. So they're a pretty solid team. I like Syracuse. This is going to be a close game. Do you have anything to convince me that BC could win this one?
Yeah, well, Syracuse was already broadcasted, and I was actually giving the play-by-play of the fight while our play-by-play guy was trying to get everything sorted out, Michael Graziano. I was giving the play-by-play of the fight itself.
So I mean, that was a feisty one. You saw that those guys were going at each other.
Oh, yeah, no, there was no love lost. I don't think there was any love lost between BC and Syracuse. They played close games. It was a 28-20 final last year. And then our 3-9 in my freshman year, I believe I just lost up by a field goal of 17-14, if I remember correctly. And I see this year as a year BC breaks. I think Dungy is a very good quarterback. We saw him do a lot of good things against the BC defense. I think he threw for about close to 400 yards in Chestnut Hill. But I think BC is going to be 6-5. They're going to be trying to say, we don't want to go to a Ringo to a good bowl, maybe even the Pinstripe Bowl, as they did a couple of years ago. And 7-5 could potentially put in that conversation. And I think they get to 7-5, winning at the Carrier Dome. And Steve Adazio shows that this team really is trending upwards instead of just standing still.
You know, Kyle, I really hope that's the case. And for some reason, my mind says Syracuse. I, you know, when I did this podcast in January's previewing schedule, I had this one as a win. As I've thought more about it, I think Syracuse is actually going to be a pretty solid team this year. But my heart says BC gets bowl eligibility for a second straight year. So I'm going to pick BC in this one. I'm going against reason on that one, but I think BC finds a way to do it. And Steve Adazio finally puts together a pretty solid season. I mean, 6-6 is not anything spectacular. But against this schedule, if we can see more offensive production game to game, it could be a successful season at 6-6. So you have them at 7-5. I have them 6-6. But Syracuse is definitely a game to watch. I think it'll be a really good one, a really close one on that Thanksgiving weekend, one that I look forward to seeing. So, Kyle, 7-5 for you, 6-6 for me. It's going to be a fun one. I think this is kind of the year. I mean, Steve Adazio has been saying since he began, this is a 5-year program. You know, we're rebooting this program within 5 years. This is year 5. So this is kind of the season that he says to watch out for. You know, it's tough to totally buy into that with the quarterback still as open as it is. But if he can develop one of these guys and put them out there and they do a good job, I think BC will be a fun team with a good defense and maybe a team that could scare some people.
Yeah, I agree. I believe in this team right now. I have a 7-5. I think maybe the quarterback will do enough. I think the receiver will hold, and I think the running back between Hilleman, Davon Jones, and the freshman A.J. Dillon will be able to do enough with a better, more cohesive offensive line to put up more than 15, 14 points a game. And be able to beat the teams and getting the defense less time on the field so they can really hold up and live up to their talent instead of just getting exhausted like they have in the past.
Yeah, sure, exactly. I mean, it's a really solid group of running backs, probably the most talented that we've seen in our time at BC, probably the most dynamic group of receivers that they've had in a couple years, and the offensive line is better. So if the quarterback position can, you know, find a way to be satisfactory out there, if not even, you know, better, depending on who they go with, then the offense maybe is putting up, you know, way more than we've seen before in the last couple of years, and that could lead to a couple wins. But I think, nonetheless, 6-6 or 7-5, it's going to be a better team, a better team to watch, a team that's in more games, and I think a team that might surprise some people on national television, you know, maybe make all those people that are picking Northern Illinois for some reason to win that opening game really kind of go back on their heels and say, wow, this BC team is not too bad, and they could be pretty good. So, Kyle, great insight there. You offered some really good stuff on each of those teams, so I'm sure whoever comes across this podcast will be definitely prepared for every game this season. I appreciate you looking into all of that. This has been the WZBC Sports Podcast, Season 2, Episode 2, so hope you're enjoying Season 2 so far, and we'll be back certainly with more to come as the football season rolls on. Kyle, thank you, buddy. I will talk to you soon. And see you on campus in just a little bit. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the WZBC Sports Podcast.
Santini, make a nice little pass over to Sanford. Sanford gives it to Tuck. Tuck with a shot. Oh! Tuck scores. Eagles win. The Eagles have won the 2016 Bean Pot Championship.
Catch all the excitement of Boston College athletics right here on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. As BC's only student radio broadcasting organization, WZBC Sports brings a different viewpoint of college athletics to the table. Our student commentators know the campus, student athlete culture, and latest beat on the teams like no other media outlet, thanks to our dedicated coverage of Boston College sports. Check out our broadcast or weekly talk show schedules at www.wzbcsports.com and get a refreshing take on sporting events at the Heights and beyond.